word that you would want us to understand and hear today. So we pray all these things in your name. Amen. So today I got an interesting topic, and this sounds almost like a talk I'm going to give at a scientific meeting. Excuse me. Programmed cell death. As you know, everybody dies. You know, nobody lives. You're born and you die. That's something that you can almost count on. So I'm going to start off with, as usual, a case study. Actually, I spent about 40 years of my life studying this particular problem. It's hard to believe. Hansuk mentioned to me, I told her that, and she said, you know, remember when you started off in medicine? You had so many ideas, it was hard for you to stick with one thing. So you always wanted to study this, study that, so forth. But, you know, eventually I realized you got to stick with one thing. So this is a 30-year-old white male who came in. His major problem was difficulty swallowing. Every time he ate, food got stuck, okay? And this occurred over a period of like 6 months. And it was a progressive thing. 6 months ago, he noticed a little catch here, but as time went on, things got stuck, and solid foods, bigger pieces, tended to get stuck, so he started to chew his foods more carefully. And then he also noticed that even liquids began to give him a problem. So initially, it was all solids. Liquids, no problem, but as time went on, solids, and then it included liquids, okay? For medical school, that's a big deal. So not only that, but he took a lot longer to eat. So, you know, you don't realize it, but you can wolf down a meal in 5 to 10 minutes. You know, ladies, you might think that sounds kind of crazy, but really it is. Very easy. But it was taking him at least 30 minutes to eat his meal. A lot longer. And then he also noticed that some of his meal actually came up now. So he didn't want to eat with people because if he ate, you know, it might end up on the table. So it got very embarrassing. So he started staying away from eating with people. He actually liked to eat, you know, between the typical meal hours. So if you go to the cafeteria, he'd sit in the corner by himself. He noticed that if he relaxed, thought about something else, the food went down better. Okay? Not only that, but he started adding a lot of liquids to his meals. So he would have like about two big, you know, 16-ounce glasses at his table. So he'd put some solids in, chew it real well, then douse some liquids, kind of push it down. he also ate softer foods, and then, as I mentioned, he ate by himself. And then he noticed waking up at night with typical heartburn, this kind of burning sensation. It would wake him up at night. He'd take some antacids, drink some liquids, and so forth. Finally, he decided, I'm going to see a doctor. Now, this is like 2 months into his problem. So went to see his primary care doctor, and I'm not trying to be down on primary care doctors, but as soon as a primary care doctor heard that he had heartburn, figured, oh, this must be heartburn reflux, you know, acid coming back up, okay? So put him on this medicine called Prilosec. I bet many of you may know this medicine. It's proton pump inhibitor, blocks acid, and so forth. And, you know, whenever you give a medicine to somebody, there's always a little bit of improvement. There's a placebo effect to it. Everybody's a little bit different. I have a real strong placebo effect. Emotional guy, you know, so I take it, oh, wow, this thing works. Usually about 2 weeks later, you find out it doesn't really work, okay? Anyway, he lost about 20 pounds, and then eventually the primary care guy said, hey, wait a minute, this is something bad going on. I better send you to the gastroenterologist. So that's when he came to see us, okay? So very interesting, okay? This is on the left-hand side. This is what is known as a barium swallow. You give him a little barium, he swallows, goes down his esophagus. And as you can see, the difference between the one on the left-hand side and the next two on the right is that the one on the left is pretty narrow, right? And the one on the right, you see how wide it is? Okay? It's very abnormal. Okay? And in fact, when we did this study, what we found was there's a lot of food and debris in the esophagus. In fact, some of these esophagus can get so big that it actually looks like a stomach in the chest, okay? So obviously there's a problem here, and if you look real closely, see this here, right here is what we call the lower esophageal sphincter that never opens. It stays tight completely. And usually what we see is when somebody swallows, we see what is known as a peristaltic wave. The muscle kind of works its way down, pushes the food through. In this particular disorder, you don't have that. You actually lose the peristalsis, okay? And then we took a look into his esophagus, and what we see here is that on the left-hand side, you can see the caliber. It's pretty narrow. And on the right-hand side, you see how wide it is? So really abnormal. Big, patulous, we call that esophagus. So he has this disease. And if you look here, on the left here, you can see that if we measure the pressures from the top of the esophagus all the way down like this, you can see that there's this wave, a stripping wave, that squeezes all the food and the liquids down into the esophagus. And then, sorry. However, if you look at people with this problem, what you see on the right-hand side is that there's no peristalsis. Everything is dropped straight into the esophagus, and it actually sits there. And those little arrows at the bottom here, because I don't want to touch the computer, it's going to go back, represent the fact that these people can't relax this sphincter. So when they actually swallow, the sphincter stays tight. There's no peristalsis, so everything gets stuck in that area. Okay? So that's the disease that we're talking about. It's known as achalasia, okay, which means that, you know, in the sense, chalasia means reflux, relaxation of the sphincter. A means it doesn't occur, and these people have this problem where the sphincter doesn't open up. So the gate doesn't open to let the food go down, and there's no squeezing of the esophagus. And so what they get is they get a muscular stenosis, so narrowing, right at the end of the esophagus. And as you can see, over time, if you don't treat it, it gets bigger, 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 and eventually you get a real huge esophagus, which can cause a lot of problems, difficult to treat. And the cause of this is the fact that there's a substance down here and in the esophagus that causes it to relax. When you swallow, the substance is released and the muscle relaxes. Okay, and we call it nitric oxide, or VIP, which is a neurotransmitter. Okay. Anyway, interestingly, we don't know the cause of this disease, okay, but we think it's an autoimmune disease. And as you can see, the AB over there means there's an antibody from the blood that attaches to this area where the ganglion cells are, where you have this specific hormone, or you get these round cells, which we call cellular immunity, that attacks this area and begins to destroy these cells, okay? So eventually what happens is that if you see here in the middle, where you see the little star and that orange area, that's the ganglion cell. And all those cells that surround the ganglion cells are all what we call inflammatory cells. They're coming in and they're trying to destroy the ganglion cell. The ganglion cell is a good cell, okay? These other inflammatory cells are there because they think that the ganglion cell is a bad cell, so they're coming in and destroying that area. So what are some of the mechanisms that cause this? We don't know the answer to this. It could be a toxin, it could be a virus, and what happens is it comes in and infects the ganglion cell. And the interesting thing is that this ganglion cell releases certain substances, okay, that try to protect it from these particular organisms. But I want you to look real closely. On the left-hand side, there's a little piece with a Y, okay? And what that is an abnormal protein that shows up on the surface of the cell, okay? And when that happens, we think that your normal soldiers that take care of you look at your cell, that particular cell in its own body, and says, you're the enemy. And what it does is it begins to attack itself. So there are many diseases, actually, what we call autoimmune diseases, where our own body doesn't recognize something and recognizes your own body as being abnormal and actually begins to destroy your own body, okay? And this is kind of what we think causes achalasia, and eventually it kills the ganglion cell, And because of that, you don't have any of these hormones anymore to make it work. And that's why these guys have this problem, okay? So this is kind of what I do. I blow up a balloon at the end of the esophagus and stretch the esophagus. Or we do a myotomy, we cut the muscle. And as you can see here, this is us going in, cutting the muscle. And this is looking from the esophagus down. You can see the light on the other side. Sometimes I'm in there with the surgeons as they cut the muscle. I tell them whether the muscle is opening up and so forth and so on, okay? So, you know, this autoimmune disease is really basically self-destruction, okay? So the good soldiers in your body think that something in your body that's normal is bad, and it begins to attack it. And a lot of times we find that it may be that there's certain people that inherit a trait. And when you inherit this trait, what happens is that only you, when this disease or virus comes in, expresses this abnormal antigen. And then you begin to attack it. So it's like you didn't do anything. You just inherited something. And when a certain things occur, this thing expresses itself and you have a disease. So it's part of your DNA, okay? So without you doing anything, unfortunately, you can actually develop a disease without knowing, okay? So the problem that you got to do to treat something like this is you got to actually stop the normal soldiers. And you give what is known as like steroids or immunosuppressive agents. The problem with that is when you stop your normal immune system, you can get infected by other organisms, so you run that risk. It's always a problem. Okay? And that's always a problem with people who have transplants. So, unfortunately, you got good and bad cells within the body. You got these good soldier cells, and you may have cells that you have inherited with this DNA. So you got, in a sense, a good cell and a bad cell within your body. This is something that we just read over here that Paul noticed about himself. Okay? And he said to himself, you know, it drives me crazy because I can't do what is right. And he wrote over here in Romans, he says, I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I don't do. Hey, does that sound familiar to you? Okay? But what I hate to do, I do. So even if I don't want to do this, I do it. Now, let me ask you guys, is that something that you guys do? I mean, I don't think there's anybody here that can tell me no to that. There's something within you that makes you do stuff that you don't want to do. You can say to yourself, I want to be this, I want to be this, I want to do this, I want to be good to people, this. But when it really comes to it, you end up doing what you don't want to do. So he says, as it is, it is no longer I myself who does it, but is sin living within me. You know, Paul got so discouraged because he was a Pharisee. He followed the law. He worked so hard to follow the law. And the harder he followed the law, the more he understood that within his own DNA, he couldn't do it. It was impossible for him to do it. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. So, the question is, you know, how often have you had this happen to you? And the answer is, of course. I don't think anybody here can say no to me. And so Paul says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And I think as I grow up and I study the Bible and I try to do all these things, there are many times where I get discouraged about the fact that you want to do something, but yet this thing comes back to your mind, maybe evil thoughts that you say, you know, I don't want to think like that, but why is it my mind thinks like that, okay? Now, the interesting thing is that, I hate to say this, but your DNA is contaminated. All of us have contaminated DNA. What do I mean by this, okay? In the garden, basically God made you a perfect person. You had perfect DNA. But he told you that what you got to do is you got to not disobey me. And as long as you didn't disobey God, this perfect DNA and his protection covered you. Once you disobeyed him, You lost that protection. And immediately, Satan comes in, puts his DNA in. And as soon as he put it in, guess what happened? All of a sudden, Adam and Eve could see that they're naked. And not only that, but from then on, they really couldn't communicate with God anymore because their DNA was changed. And in fact, they began to lose their spiritual eyes. For example, if I asked you right now, do you see the angels surrounding us? I know that if some of you said yes, we would think you're crazy, you know, and put you in a mental house, right? But actually, if we had our spiritual eyes, you might see all the angels around us because we all got guardian angels. There might be a guy standing right behind me to help me give this talk. Hard to believe, but we've lost our spiritual eyes, okay? So we're blind to the spiritual world, and physical death, which we all have, relates to this DNA that's now defective. Because if you lived in the garden and didn't disobey, you'd live forever. You'd live in eternity, and God would speak to you every day and have fellowship with you every day. Okay, so, you know, the big question that we run into is that every day I got this problem. How do I solve this, right? Is there really a mechanism? We know that Jesus died on the cross, and that we believe in him. You have eternal spiritual life with him. But how about every day? Okay, now we read a lot of passages in the Bible. Can that really affect us? Okay, now I'm going to tell you about these children in Romania. I may have mentioned this in a talk before, but in Romania, there are a lot of these orphan kids that nobody could take care of. So there are these orphanages, and they'd put these babies into the crib and shove the milk bottle in their mouth. Okay, that's all they did. Every day, somebody would go by, shove the milk bottle in their mouth. Within 2 to 4 years, what happened to the kids? They physically died. They died. I mean, many of them were mentally, you know, disturbed, but the amazing thing is that they died. So you would think, if I were a scientific person and saying all the DNA that you have makes you Garrett, Louise, okay, makes you, right? So all you need is your DNA. We'll take away any external stimulation. Heck, the DNA should do it all. Why is it that the person dies? Because not only do you need the DNA, you need physical, external stimulation in addition, and it affects your DNA. Nobody really believed this until there's a new area of study called epigenetics. And they've actually looked at these neurons, and what they show in mice is that if you stimulate them, the neurons actually arborize like a tree with leaves. If you don't stimulate them, the animals, they kind of shrivel up and they get small. Amazing. Now, I look at my grandson, because now I got a third grandson, and you know, I look at him and I do this stuff like, oh, you're so cute. How you doing? Oh my God, Miles, you know, give me a hug, give me a kiss. And I catch myself like, what am I saying all this stuff for, you know? I'm thinking, boy, it's such a natural thing, you know. It sounds kind of stupid. You say these little things, ooh, you're such a handsome boy, you know, and all the rest of these things. And you realize that probably as part of your genes, you do this, and it actually stimulates the kid so that these things go into their ear, goes to their brain, and allows them to get stimulated, okay? People who have strokes, for example, since I study in the mouth and the throat, who can't swallow, they've got a new probe that they put into the back of the throat, okay? And they turn the probe on with electrical activity, and what it does is it actually stimulates, goes back to where the stroke has occurred in the brain. And what they find is that the person recovers faster. So by external stimulation, they can actually drive a force up to the brain where you have damage, stimulate probably some neurohormone, so it actually can actually heal better. Really interesting. Okay, so overall health. You ever heard of Lumosity.com? Man, you hear that every day, right? On the radio. Well, what's Lumosity.com about? Well, they got all this kind of puzzles and things to do. What are they doing? Epigenetics. They're stimulating your brain. Now, who does all of this? It started by a bunch of neurologists. And how did they do it? Because they realized that if they can stimulate your brain, that your brain will stay refreshed, alive, a lot longer than if they didn't do it. Okay? Now, you know, the thing about it is that the Bible and God's been telling this all along. You know, the oncologist will tell you that, you know, they have these sessions where you come in, you got cancer, and you smile. You look at each other and you smile. Hi, how are you? Good morning. Smile, smile, smile. And they do this for like 2 hours or an hour, okay? And they find that these guys actually do better. They heal better because they smile. So smiling probably goes somewhere in the brain that releases something that goes in your body that affects the cancer cell. Now, look over here. Biblical passages result in a positive DNA change. That's what I think, okay? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. You know, I studied that way back. Every time I had a problem, I go back and read this over to myself. I'd hear this in my head. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lead not unto. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is what a lot of these passages will do with the power of God. Okay, so now I'm going to talk to you as a doctor. You know, as a doctor, I say to my patients, you see this pill? I want you to take it once a day, and you got to take it a certain way. I want you to take it 30 minutes before you eat because, and I explain to them, because when you take it 30 minutes before you eat, your blood absorbs it. You get a blood level. Then when you eat your food, you produce acid. And in order for this pill to work, it's got to kill the pumps that make acid. If the pumps are asleep, you can have all the medicine you want in your bloodstream. It doesn't work. Okay, so I tell them, you eat the biggest meal, and you take it 30 minutes before the biggest meal. So that's your doctor telling you a prescription. So I'm going to tell you something that I want you guys to do, because these are prescriptions in the Bible, okay? This is for your health. And the best part about it, it's not only for your physical health, it's your mental health, it's your spiritual health, and it helps to destroy the old man. This is the man that's in you that fights you as long as you live with the human body, okay? Now, I'm going to tell you, although I wrote this here, you know, people ask, are there double-blind studies to prove that this drug is good? You guys all heard that, right? Where you treat one guy with a placebo, you treat the other guy without one, and so forth. I'm going to tell you that in the end, you're going to see the biggest study when you get to heaven. The people that went to hell, the people that went to heaven. It's almost like a double-blind randomized study, okay? And it's real, okay? So this is how I want you to take it, okay? Just like this, once a day, good. Twice a day better, three times a day even better. I want you to spend time and do this quietly. Meditate. Think about these words. Let it kind of soak into your heart and into your mind. And I'm going to just read a passage here. I want you to just think of the words here. Just kind of concentrate with me, okay? Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone, if possible, as far as it depends on you. Live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. Interesting. Leave room for God's wrath. Because if you take all the revenge, God will not have room for his wrath, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Isn't that beautiful? If you spend time and think about that, you can do this every day. I'm sure that your heart will be a lot more peaceful than, you know, if you don't do something like this. So, this is what Mother Teresa said. I found this, you know, I know many of you love her. Many quotes that she has. I am not sure exactly what heaven will be like, but I know that when we die and it comes time for God to judge us, he will not ask, how many good things have you done in your life? Rather, he will ask, how much love did you put into what you did? It's beautiful. Okay. So, you know, in summary, I just want to say that, you know, we're at war with our sinful nature, just like this achalasia. You got your body trying to kill itself. And sin is always trying to destroy us. You have it in your DNA, and it's there, and it's always trying to destroy you. One way to get rid of this and work with power is to meditate on biblical promises. Remember that the resurrection power, the power that took God, Jesus, from death to life, that's the power that he's given to you. That's the power that he's bequeathed to you. It's a real thing. When the disciples saw Jesus alive, they realized the power of God, and you have that. God's word is medicine that produces victory in our daily physical and spiritual walk. So look at his Bible, study it, and look at it as medicine for you. Okay? So let's bow for a prayer. Our Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that you are living power that can be with us every day. So, Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit will touch us and to just help us to look to you and all the things that you've put in the word to help us in our illnesses every day. In your name, amen.